وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر، سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. It was only 2 months ago that we bid farewell to the month of Ramadan. There was a communal spirit at night of Taraweeh. In the morning, before Fajr, an individual time to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Qiyamul Layl, for Tahajjud. And these are different instances and different moments where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during different seasons, increases rewards and blessings during certain times. Allah's blessings are continuous throughout. But there are certain seasons, certain times, certain places where Allah's mercy increases, the blessings increase, the love of Allah increases. There are certain seasons. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned this in one narration that, اِفْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ دَهْرَكُمْ, do good throughout your lives. Meaning daily. It's not as though during Ramadan we only perform our fard salah. No, we will continue. Generally we will do good. However, Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that whilst doing good throughout your lives, وَتَعَرَّضُوا لِنَفَحَاتِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, become recipients, meaning be individual to present themselves for the breezes of Allah's mercy. Meaning Allah's mercy is consistent. Daily, at the time of tahajjud, Allah's mercy descends. And Allah asks, مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ, who's going to ask of me so I can answer him. مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ, who's going to ask for forgiveness from me so I can forgive him. And مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ, who is going to ask of me so I can give to him. These three questions. So these are the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are consistent. But Rasulullah mentions in here, وَتَعَرَّضُوا لِنَفَحَاتِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, that present yourselves for the breezes of Allah's mercy. Why? فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ نَفَحَاتٍ مِّن رَحْمَتِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. For Allah's mercy has certain breezes. There are certain breezes of Allah's mercy. What I mean by the word nafahat is like it's a wind, or it's a sort of like, you know, when you blow, there's a wind. So saying that Allah's mercy has that. Now the one thing, look at the language that's being used. See, it's something to say that Allah's mercy descends, and it's another thing to say Allah's mercy has breezes. What's the difference? When there's a breeze, it's coming in your direction. It's coming towards you. On a hot day, what do you enjoy? You enjoy that breeze, that gush of wind, that feels, that's enjoyable. So Allah's mercy has this. But there's one point over here. يُصِيبُ بِهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, it reaches those servants of Allah whom He wants. Meaning selected servants receive these breezes. Selected servants. Now we make dua to Allah that He makes us from amongst His selected servants. Meaning these individuals will be selected, meaning the others will be deprived. So make dua to Allah that, oh Allah, make us from amongst these selected servants, from these that are recipients of this mercy of yours. And an example of this, actually, in fact, one mentions that it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that during these times that we are able to gain from the outpourings, these breezes, is His infinite mercy that allows us to gain from there. And then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He emerges from these individuals, and we ourselves try and capitalize on this. Make an effort. If we make an effort, Allah will most definitely allow us to capitalize on this. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We make effort, Allah will facilitate. Now, as I mentioned, Ramadan was one of those seasons. So, in fact, our pious predecessors would categorize 3 sets of 10. There are 3 sets of 10 which are blessed, meaning the last 10 of Ramadan, the first 10 of Muharram, and the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah. And they say that of the most blessed are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In fact, Rasulullah mentions one hadith, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَلْعَمُلُ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ عَشْرٍ, that there are no more days which are more honorable, more noble, more greater in the sight of Allah and more beloved to Allah. The greatest love of Allah are in these 10, where a person who does actions in these are more noble, more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasulullah mentions, so frequent the remembrance within these days, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and La ilaha illallah. Scholars actually mention that these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, are greater and more beloved to Allah than the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The difference is that in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, there's a night which is more beloved. But the 10 days as a whole, as a block and a set, the category of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the most beloved, are the most rewarding, the most blessed. In fact, Allah mentions in the Quran, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. He takes an oath by these 10 days. You know when Allah takes an oath by something? It's to show its greatness. For example, وَالْعَصْرِ. Allah takes an oath by time. Because time is sacred, time is blessed. Where we've only got a limited time before we pass away. And that's our actions done. Unless they are our sadaqah jariyah, etc. That continues. But that's our actions from our own selves closed. So Allah promises by time because time is sacred. Once we've lost this time, it's lost. We can't regain the time that's lost. Once we pass away, that's it. What we've done is what we've done. So Allah swears by time. But imagine that same language, that same promise is taken for وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, for the 10 nights, meaning the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Imam Shafi'i and other Mufassir majority argue that the reference to these 10 nights are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So it shows the importance and an emphasis and significance of these 10 days. And it's also mentioned that the Hujjaj are going for Hajj. Most of the Ummah will not be going for Hajj, meaning those that will go will be a minority of the entire Ummah. They will still be a minority. But even if they even reach their millions, they'll still be a minority of the entire Ummah that would go for Hajj on that particular year. So as a compensation for that, the believers that are not going still have these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah as a form of compensation for that. Now, since these are blessed days, and we mentioned that these are the most beloved and the most noble blessed days of the year, the 10 days, how do we capitalize and how do we maximize benefit in these days? These are blessed days. And we want to know something on how do we practically benefit? Because we can talk about the grandeur, the magnanimity of these days, but if we don't know what we're going to do within, how are we going to gain from the breezes of Allah's mercy? We mentioned this. These are the breezes. The mercy of Allah is coming to in this direction. How do we gain from there? How do we become the recipient of that breeze of mercy that on a hot summer's day when you are looking for that breeze, that wind, how do we get into that location? We want that shade. How do we, in these 10 days, gain from those? So we mentioned a few virtues. Number one, fasting in these 10 days. It's mentioned that one of the mothers of the believers, radiallahu anha, mentions that كان رسول الله عليه وسلم يصوم تسعة الحجة ويوم عاشوراء وثلاثة أيام من كل شهر. The Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would fast the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. Of course, not on the 10th, because the 10th is going to be Eid. It's impermissible to fast on the day of Eid. So the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, Ashura, and 3 days of every month. But specifically mentioned, the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. In fact, one narration specifically, so if we can't fast, then again, I understand, Fajr is at 1:30, and Maghrib is at 9:30, so these are lengthy. But if we can at least fast the day of Arafah, that 9th, the reward of this is immense. Siyam yawmi Arafah, إني أحتسب على الله أن يكفر سنة قبله والسنة التي بعده. Rasulullah is reported to have said that the fasting the day of Arafah, the 9th, I have hope in Allah, meaning I believe that Allah will give that the previous year's sins will be forgiven and the upcoming year's sins will be forgiven. A few ways to understand this is, one, it's minor sins. Number two, the tawfiq such is of this act that a person will remain protected in certain ways. That those major sins, a person will be protected from. However we want to understand it, but the spiritual impact of this is that it's going to have a spiritual impact on the previous year's sins and the upcoming year's sins. That is the impact of fasting the 9th. But the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 9, as a whole, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would fast. So that's number one, fasting. Number two, as I mentioned before, that these 10 days are the most honorable and the most beloved in the sight of Allah. At the end of that narration, Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, so frequent in here, so increase in tasbih, in tahmid and tahleel, in basically subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and la ilaha illallah. In Ramadan was a month of the Qur'an. We recite the Qur'an throughout the year. But in Ramadan, there's an additional relationship with the Qur'an. Now these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, there's an additional relationship with dhikr. Even those that are going for Hajj, they tell Bia, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. They are doing Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, in every point when they will be going. Similarly for us, during the 10 days, and in fact, from the 9th to the 13th, there will be an additional takbir after the salas. There will be an additional takbir. So these are the days of adhkar, the days of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a certain way, look, subhanallah, understand what we're doing. We can sit there, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. We'll get the reward. We're not going to be deprived of the reward. But if we internalize this, it has a greater impact. What I mean by this is, subhanallah. Subhanallah means that Allah is pure from all faults, right? But understand this. What are we doing when we're saying that? Think of a defect. Sleep, meaning sleep is a flaw. We require sleep. We require food. Because we are feeble, we are weak, we are reliant, we are dependent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-independent. He does not require this. لَا تَأْخُذُوا سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. He doesn't sleep nor slumber, take him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of this. And neither does he require food. These are all flaws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete. He's al-alim. Think of all these. So think of every flaw. And when we're saying subhanallah, understand Allah is free of this. That's what subhanallah is. Subhanallah is saying Allah is free of defects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all faults. So understand that when you're doing that, it has a great spiritual impact. Alhamdulillah, establishing the bounties and the grandeur that we have. Alhamdulillah is doing that. So think of those things. It has a greater spiritual impact when we're doing these things because we're now internalizing the remembrance of Allah. So number one was fasting. Number two, the dhikr. Number three, udhiyah, sacrifice, the qurbani. This is a specific type of worship is only found in these days. In the Hanafi school, it's wajib, and in the other schools, it's sunnah. Rasulullah is reported to have said that no person performs a deed on the day of sacrifice, meaning the 10th day, Yawmul Nahr, the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, more beloved to Allah than the sacrifice of the animal. On the day of judgment, it will appear with its horns, hair, hooves, and the blood will be accepted by Allah, where it will be received. Before it even falls on the earth, it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The impact of this. Again, try and ensure you do it earlier before the slots are taken. And it's not as simple as going to a shop and going to buy meat and that's it, done. The sacrifice, the animal that is sacrificed, it needs to be in the individual's name, meaning it needs to be the individual's thing. So you can find it, Ummah Welfare Trust do it. You can find others, One Nation, that also do this udhiyah. You can find it locally also, Hill Farm Finance and a few others. But ensuring that they meant that you actually is going to be in your name. You're not just buying meat. There's a sacrifice taking place. Inshallah, tomorrow, after Asr Salah at 7 o'clock, there'll be a program. Mawlana Muhammad Vaiz will be coming to talk about this, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah in greater detail, but he'll be covering this aspect also. So that was number three, the udhiyah, the qurbani, for anyone that possesses nisab. And number four, is refraining from trimming the hair or nails. The Rasulullah mentions, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ هِلَالَ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ وَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يُضَحِي. When you see the hilal, the moon of Dhul Hijjah, then, and one of you intends to sacrifice, then ensure that they don't trim their hair or their nails. Again, the first of Dhul Hijjah will either be Sunday or Monday. So ensure that if you're going to trim, then before the Maghrib of that night before, that everything is trimmed. Again, for the Hanafis, Hanafis, Shafi'is, and the Malikis, it's mustahab. The Hanbalis have it to the point of wujub. But ensuring that we got capitalized on these four things, and how do we maximize the 10 days? Number one, fasting the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. Number two, the increase in the remembrance of Allah, meaning subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. Number three, qurbani, udhiyah. And finally, number four, whoever is going to do the udhiyah, the qurbani, who is going to do that, then trim your nails before tomorrow evening, possibly, or Sunday evening. May Allah grant us all true understanding and tawfiq.
Allah.